Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
The Athletic.
Let's talk about six, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about six.
Tsimikas. Salah! Fine save! Mane! Goal number 100 for Liverpool for Sadio Mane. Moves towards Van Dijk. And it breaks to Salah! Corner. Whiter comes and punches. Keita fires it back in. What a goal from Naby Keita. And a smile breaks out eventually. He did enjoy it, believe me.
Welcome back to the Red Agenda. So Lurgan lavishing the praise on Sadio Mane after his 100th goal for the Reds and setting a ridiculous new record in the process against Palace. Mane, Salah, rotation, Konate, plenty on the agenda, and of course title talk as well. It is the Red Agenda. I'm Steve Hothersall and James Pearce and a returning Simon Hughes on today's pod. Welcome back, Si.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
Yeah, you had a week away from the action.
Yeah. I went to Spain. It's good. It's good to switch off. Didn't really get to see much football or follow it even on the TV. It was a pretty remote place, so it's quite nice. But feel ready to go again. So yeah.
That's why we've got him on the pod, James, because he hasn't seen any football for the last week. It works really well with this Red Agenda.
The same we usually get from him.
Let me qualify that then. I did go to the Liverpool match on Saturday, so here you go.
All right, let's kick it off with a bit of Sadio Mane. What a significant milestone for Mane. So halfway through the first half, he scores against Palace, gets himself into the illustrious 100 club, which is remarkable in itself. But the fact that he's scored in how many consecutive games against Palace? Who wants to kick this off? James, go on. What's he on now?
Yeah, a new Premier League record, wasn't it? Nine successive league meetings against Palace. Sadio Mane scored in no player in the Premier League era has done that much damage to the same team over and over again. I think Robin van Persie had scored in 8 league meetings against Stoke in a row. I think that was the previous record that Sadio shared. So yeah, he's out on his own now. I think there was a nice quote from him afterwards where his big beaming smile lit up the place, and he said, "I just wish I could play against Crystal Palace every weekend." But to be fair to him, he's done a pretty good job. Whoever he's come up against, I think, when you look at the numbers, they are massively impressive. 100 goals, 36 assists in 224 games, and I think the other factor you have to consider in that is there's no penalties in there. He's had to work for those goals, and you could almost make a strong claim for so many of the players that Jurgen Klopp has recruited over the years being, that one was integral, that one was transformative. But I think with Sadio Mane, he was the one that set it all off, really. I think he was the first major sign in a Klopp's reign. He was the reason more than anyone else that Liverpool got into that Champions League in Klopp's first full season, getting that top four finish. And when, I think if you want to laugh, look back at the replies, I think, to the Sky Sports tweet when they tweeted that Liverpool had agreed a fee with Southampton for Sadio Mane, because there was a lot of moaning and groaning. And when you think, 5 years on, he's now a part of the 100 club and he's a bona fide Liverpool legend.
Yeah, because we talk about transformative signings and we're all too quick, Si, to jump on Alisson and Virgil van Dijk. But it was interesting looking at that game at the weekend. You've got Christian Benteke, who was the man who made way, wasn't he, really, with Sadio Mane coming in?
Yeah. Well, I remember the game at Anfield when Southampton came in Klopp's first season, first couple of months, in fact. And if I remember correctly, somebody might correct me here, but I'm sure Mané scored the equaliser for Southampton that night and then got sent off. Is that right? I remember I hadn't really watched him that closely until that game. And I thought, oh, he's a good player, him. You know, he's aggressive, got a bit of nasty about him, spiky sort of character on the pitch. I remember thinking he'd be good for Liverpool. And, you know, within by the end of the season, he'd then... you know, scored maybe was it a hat trick against Liverpool at St Mary's? Am I right in saying? Am I wrong about that? He scored certainly a couple of goals at St Mary's. Yeah, for me, I mean, he is a sort of prototype Klopp player, really, in terms of the way he is on the pitch and aggressive, hardworking, selfless. All those sorts of qualities you associate with Liverpool under Klopp. So he was the first, as James says, the first of the big signings that came through the door in that summer. And when you score the goal that he scored against Arsenal on his debut, you sort of just know he's going to be great, don't you? I mean, I always remember that James's famous tweet and Sadio Mane is climbing on Klopp's back. I mean, it was a surreal sight, that, wasn't it? Every now and again, you retweet that, don't you, James, just to sort of evoke happy memories. But, yeah, he's been a brilliant player for Liverpool. And I know there's been a few question marks this season, well, last season, the start of this season, but he seems to be, to me, just to be getting up and running again now. And the goal he scored against Crystal Palace was a bit of a poacher's goal, really, just there in the right place, the right time. Quite a difficult finish in some ways because... he was coming at it from a slightly awkward angle and had to lift the shot. But yeah, I'd expect him, you know, between now and the next, well, certainly over the next couple of weeks, his form to get even better.
I mean, the size of the achievement's massive. We should give a shout out to Kiva and Mark Carey, who've done a brilliant piece on The Athletic now, running down his 100 goals. So starting with the goal against Arsenal. So check that out. Jürgen says it's a big one, given the history of the club. And actually, the fact he's got sort of John Barnes in his sights maybe sums it up. Is he level with Kevin Keegan now? Is that right, James?
Yeah, that's right. I think he's the 18th, isn't he, player in Liverpool's entire history to get to three figures. So yeah, I think it does. When you think, you know, level with Keegan, closing in on John Barnes, it just provides some context, doesn't it, to what he has done over the past 5 years. And I think, you know, I don't think he's been at his absolute sparkling best in probably the last 12 months. But I think that's probably, you know, a lot of the talk around him probably is a result of just the ridiculous heights that he did set for, you know, previous to that. When you think back to the calibre of some of the goals he scored both domestically and in Europe, you know, one of my favourites is that, you know, the first touch from that lofted Van Dijk pass against Bayern Munich in the Allianz, and, you know, just the way he absolutely mugged off, you know, Manuel Neuer, which, you know, doesn't happen very often. So yeah, he's, I think, you know, what was it, 2 years ago, I think, for the FIFA best World 11 awards, you know, Lionel Messi voted Sadio Mane as his, you know, the best player in world football. I think the same year he was crowned African Footballer of the Year. So he, you know, when you think that when Liverpool signed him, a lot of the talk was, he's capable of flashes of brilliance, but he lacked consistency. That was always the thing that was thrown in his direction. I think, you know, I remember speaking to people at Southampton when Liverpool signed him, and that was like, well, you know, they felt that it was a bit of a gamble for someone who almost went on little streaks, and then they felt as if, you know, he disappeared for a while, and that's, you know, you can see just how much his game has evolved under Klopp. Into one of the most potent, you know, gifted all-round attacking players in world football, because it's not just the damage he's done in the final third. It's, you know, his work ethic is absolutely ridiculous. You know, he's so integral to the way the team press, the way they win the ball back when they don't have possession of the ball, and I think there's been times in the early stages of this season where you felt like he was probably still lacking a bit of belief in front of goal. But, you know, I think that hopefully will really spur him on now, because for someone so gifted, you know, last season was disappointing for him in terms of a goal return, and, you know, on the back of a proper break this summer and no major tournaments, you know, the hope is that, you know, we will see him back up at that kind of, you know, 20, 25 goal a season mark.
Yeah, and maybe Salah's form might lift in there as well. Just a bit of Googling, Si, because honestly, I couldn't remember when you talked about his hat-tricks. So on Google, it says...
He's never scored
a Premier League hat-trick.
It says, it was
obviously three times for Southampton against Villa in 2 minutes, 56 seconds.
Yes. He did some damage against Liverpool at St Mary's, though, didn't he?
He came off the bench and scored twice in a 3-2 win.
That's the one.
There you go. There's the fountain of knowledge happening there. I mean, that form last season was a little bit weird, wasn't it? No one was expecting it. Maybe he was a victim of no fans in the stadium as well. But I just mentioned there, Si, given how strong Mo Salah started the season, and there is a little bit of competition, I think, between them goals-wise.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at the numbers, actually. There's some. I mean, I'm not usually a data man, as you know, Steve, but I'm gonna reel off some stats here, which I think actually quite interesting. So, I mean, Mane now is the 17th top goal scorer in Liverpool's history. To enter the top 10, he's probably going to have to score another 50 goals for Liverpool, which is quite interesting because Salah is 10th at the moment, having scored 130. You'd expect, obviously, he's going to increase and go up the rankings. But the next person who's 9th is Harry Chambers with 151 goals, actually, for Liverpool. Now, the really interesting thing here, you mentioned Salah. His goals-to-game ratio is the second best in the top 10 in Liverpool's history. It's even better than Ian Rush. Let me just check. It's 1.61 games to goals ratio, which is better than Rush. If people talk about Salah, can he? You know, what can he do? You know, the rest of his career. I mean, I was so impressed by him on Saturday. I mean, I think he's getting better year on year on year. Like, he's refining his game a little bit. I think his appreciation of space and his teammates as well has improved. You know, he was just absolutely brilliant on Saturday. It was a world-class performance, I thought. Just particularly down the right-hand side in the first half, I was in the Centenary, Kemlin Road stand, Upper Kenny stand, whatever you want to call it. And he was just so, so good, so in control of everything that he was doing. And I genuinely think he could play for a long, long time. You know, he very, very rarely gets any injuries. He looks great. You know, every time he takes his top off, puts me and James to shame. Maybe not James, because he does go to the gym a lot. But yeah, James is a big gym head, so he'd argue otherwise. But I think he could play for an awfully long time. I mean, could he even challenge Ian Rush in terms of goals? 230, he's 200 goals, 216 goals behind at the moment.
Yeah, Rushy, 346, is that right?
Yeah. But he could play for an awfully long time. So I think he's one of those players who could be like sort of the freak, sort of Ronaldo-type player who could go on and on. It's whether he decides to stay at Liverpool for the rest of his career or whether Liverpool wants him to stay. I just think the numbers Salah's achieved just absolutely incredible, really. You'd expect him at least to enter the top five Liverpool goal scorers of all time by the time he leaves, I would say. The two of them have been absolutely brilliant, integral, and totally different players, totally different personalities. I think you sometimes need that in a football team. Not everybody has to be sort of best mates all the time, and you know, they challenge each other and drive each other on, and they've both been just absolutely brilliant signings for Liverpool. There's no other way of looking at it.
You skated over that bit where he took his top off. I don't think there's a man or a woman in that stadium who doesn't enjoy that, if you take that in the right match. I mean, he's got the most ridiculously chiselled physique. Oh. It's almost like he thinks he wants to show everyone what he's got, isn't it?
There is an element to that, you know, Steve, because when I went to Egypt, you can read all about that trip on The Athletic if you still want to. I was speaking to some of his old teammates, you know, when he played in Egypt as, you know, when he was a teenager, playing for Arab contractors, and they all said, you know, he was so different to the other players in terms of the amount of time he spent in the gym, just constantly looking after his body. He'd seen sort of what Ronaldo had done, the way sort of the best European footballer looked, and he said, I have to be like that to be at my best. So there is, you know, this isn't done just for show. It's done because he feels that allows him to compete to the highest possible level. And when he scores, I think he's, you know, there's a reason why he does that. I think, and it was worth the booking, wasn't it? I mean, it was quite good. He totally lost himself, didn't he, on Saturday when he scored, Sally? He was really, he's quite emotional about it. And I saw some of his tweets afterwards. I think, you know, he was really into it. Even like some of the sometimes I think he sort of tries to be quite calm in his celebrations, but on Saturday he really enjoyed that one right in front of the Klopp. I mean, when you volley, you know, a volley from 10 yards, perfectly taken, can't be many better feelings than that, I'd imagine.
It's almost embarrassing, James, when even the referee apologises to the player for booking him. You've got to that point now, haven't you? He's taking his top off, everyone wants to see it, and then the ref says, I'm sorry, here you go, here's your yellow card.
Yeah, it's just one of those ridiculous rules, isn't it? I don't understand why it's still there, to be honest, but I don't think he looked remotely bothered, did he? I think, as Simon said, I think, you know, there was a real outpouring of emotion there, and it's just been, you know, he has set the tone for this magnificent start to the season. I think what we 6 games in, if you include the Champions League, and you know he scored in 5 of them, hasn't he? And you know, and again, just so much more to his game than just goals. And you know, it was a brilliant header from, you know, to create the opening goal from Tsimikas's delivery. And I'm sure we'll come on to that. You can, you know, it's quite a rarity that you see Liverpool win 3-0 and all 3 come from corners. But again, you know, I think that is down to kind of attention to detail and all the work they put in on that over the summer, because that's not just a coincidence. That was, you know, and that first one was a fantastic header to force a really good save. And as Simon said before, I thought Mane made a difficult finish look ridiculously easy. And that threat from set pieces has really intensified on the back of obviously Van Dijk's return, Matip's return, and Konate, I'm sure we'll come on to. I thought it was a really promising debut from him.
So just on the corners one then, is Trent off corners now?
Oh. You won't be happy with that. He will not be happy with that.
No, well, it's interesting. You know, obviously brilliant player. Sometimes people have a little nitpick at his defending, and sometimes the nitpick is corners, don't they?
Yeah, well, I think the frustration is always, isn't it, the number of corners that Liverpool, you know, Liverpool always force a ridiculous number, don't they? Because they tend to dominate possession to that degree and have so much of the ball. And you know, I think the frustration is the number of times when it doesn't beat the first man. When you know, but when the ball is delivered into the right areas, as we saw on Saturday, you know, Liverpool are really potent in that department, because you know, even on Saturday, although the two centre backs didn't score, I thought, you know, the second goal, you know, Salah's goal came from that, didn't it? I think, you know, it was Konate and Van Dijk causing havoc. I'm sure probably for the first one, it was a great run from Salah, but I'm sure part of that was minds being so preoccupied by, you know, who's got Van Dijk, who's got Konate. Those are clearly the two massive aerial threats here. And then even for the, you know, the third one, you know, fantastic volley from Naby Keita. But again, you know, I think it was actually Salah himself, wasn't it, who delivered that corner. Tsimikas put in the two for the first and the second goals. And then, you know, the keeper punches under pressure and Keita sends it back with interest. So, I'm sure we'll still see Trent on some corners. But yeah, I think you've got to, you know, Tsimikas, his quality from set pieces is a decent asset for the club.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about the back four. We'll get to Konate in just a second, but an entirely different back four than from the Milan game, Si, which is a real surprise if you're talking about a team like Liverpool. So Milner, Virgil, Konate, Tsimikas. Bit of a scare right at the start. Both posts were scraped, weren't they? And I suppose there was a little bit of an element of nervousness from Konaté initially, but he went on to have a fantastic game.
I thought it was quite a brave decision, really. You know, bearing in mind, you know, it's the thing that Liverpool suffered from most, you know, in terms of the amount of change that they had last season. But I suppose it's different making changes when you're in control of those changes to some extent. I understand, obviously, Trent was an enforced call. But I thought it was for example, I would have, before the game, I was thinking, you know, you don't get rid of both fullbacks, really. It's been a long time since that's happened. And I'd have thought, you know, maybe, I wonder in Klopp's mind, if he'd have thought, well, maybe I should play Andy Robertson in this game and leave Tsimikas out. But if he's made the promise to him that he's going to play, it's going to be quite difficult. But Tsimikas, I thought, did very well again. And I mean, James Milner, I've got to say, I mean, I was concerned at the start of the game because he struggled against Zahar a couple of seasons ago. I think it was the 4-3 game. At Anfield, when Zahar was absolutely magnificent. It was one of the best visiting performances by any player, I thought, that season. And Milner had a difficult day. I think he get sent off as well, I think, at the end for kicking somebody up in the air anyway. Might be wrong. But yeah, he was, bearing in mind, Zahar had played very, very well the week before against Spurs. And on his day, is an absolute handful. I thought James Milner handled him perfectly. He was aggressive, diligent, very good, sort of, you know, contributing in the attacking third. But dovetailing with that as well, a player who, again, performed absolutely brilliantly for me was Jordan Henderson. The concern was, without Trent, where do you get that sort of width and the crossing ability? But for Jordan Henderson, with Milner on that right side, patrolled it so well, stopped the threat from Zaha and also offered a threat in attacking situations. So I thought right down that right-hand side, Liverpool were just brilliant, like really, really, really good. You know, you could see, you know, the experience of Milner and Henderson, excellent, and Salah as well, I thought worked very hard defensively as well to help his teammates out at certain times. So really impressive performance. I mean, you've asked the question about the defence there, Steve, so I've rambled and I apologise. But I thought, you know, I thought it was quite telling afterwards, just looking at some of the quotes from James Milner. And he's talking about Virgil van Dijk's return and just how important that is. I mean, he said, he called him Superman. And I think, again, it sort of got lost a little bit in the conversation last season because of the hysteria around van Dijk's injury and what it meant. You know, he sort of got this almost counter-argument that, oh, well, you know, it's just one player. You know, Liverpool have got good results without him in the past, but... You know, James Milner thought he was, you know, described him as Superman. I think without him, I just think Liverpool lost so much confidence. I think he's such an imposing-looking figure. When he's not there, it must have made the other players feel quite vulnerable, really, in some ways. You know, there's an extra vulnerability, not just in the way Liverpool played, but of somebody like Van Dijk, who, you know, such an incredible physique and personality, can get injured. I just saw that vulnerability spread across Liverpool very quickly last season. Feels like now he hasn't really started the season brilliantly, I'd say, Van Dijk. I think he's still feeling his way back in, but I just think his presence just gives the rest of the team, all the players around, so much more confidence. I just think it, you know, the goalkeeper's been brilliant as well. Alisson Becker started the season superbly, I've got to say. I thought he was really important against Crystal Palace, made some big saves certain times, including the one you said at the start there, Steve. It was a bit of a mess, but he made the save. Liverpool fall behind in the first minute. He made the save one way or another and made other good saves in the game. So those two players, for me, if you get the goalkeeper playing well, get Van Dijk back to the level where he can be at, it's going to still take him time. I just think, you know, Liverpool are going to be very difficult to stop this season, to be honest. If that works out, I would say. And I mean, I'll let James answer about Konaté because I know he's done a piece about him this morning and has probably been watching him a bit closer than I was, because I was there in a non-working capacity on something.
Well, he's going to be a bit more comfortable, isn't he, Konaté, if Virgil van Dijk's alongside him, James?
Yeah, I think that definitely helped. You know, I think it also, you know, Klopp has adapted a kind of, you know, a similar stance with him as he has with a number of his other new signings over the years, where rather than throw them straight in, he's kind of eased them in gently. You know, he spoke after the game on Saturday, Klopp, about the kind of having to adjust his game. in terms of what Liverpool need from him tactically and the benefits of having spent the first month of the season kind of watching and learning. And then, you know, come Saturday, he felt he was ready. And I thought it was a really, really impressive start from him. I think you can see why he was the priority for Liverpool in the transfer market this summer. You know, he is the perfect fit, I think, for that high defensive line with, you know, he's so strong, but also incredibly quick. I think there was a couple of times where, you know, players' movement caught him out a little bit, but he recovered brilliantly. You know, there was, you know, a couple of big instances, one in the first half with Zaha where, you know, he was too strong for Zaha. Zaha ended up hitting the deck and kind of a half-hearted penalty appeal that was quite rightly waved away. And then, you know, there was the one with Benteke where he got back and made a really important block. And then even in the second half where, you know, on first viewing, I thought Edouard had got away from Konate and got the shot off when Alisson saved. But actually, when you watch the replay back, you know, it was Konate had actually got a really important foot in. And the ball was already being diverted behind for a corner before Alisson intervened. So,
I think we need an intervention chaos. Here, James. Come on.
Chaos, come on.
Milo clearly doesn't agree. But no, I you know, when you think it, you know, it's always difficult, isn't it? 22-year-old lad, you know, coming to, you know, a new country. I know he's settled in Blundell Sands just down the road from Simon. And
wonder he struggled for getting the team, eh?
So he's you know, and I think, you know, what for Klopp, he literally has gone from one extreme to the other, hasn't he? To go from, you know, to the famine of last season in terms of the centre-backs to now the feast of having, you know, five senior centre-backs. I mean, we haven't even seen Nat Phillips yet, who was absolutely integral to Liverpool qualifying for the Champions League with his form in the last few months of last season. I'm sure we'll see him at Norwich in the Carabao Cup on Tuesday night. But yeah, that, you know, I think, you know, that is a nice headache to have. I think probably Matip on his form so far, you'd imagine he would probably come back in for Brentford at the weekend, because I think Matip and Van Dijk, you know, that they have set the tone for this season with that defensive solidity. But yeah, I think there were really promising signs at the weekend of Konate getting back up to speed. And, you know, for all the brilliance of Mane and Salah, you know, this kind of latest challenge for what we hope will be, you know, a sustained title challenge is built on really firm foundations. You know, 4 clean sheets out of 5. I think you have to go back to 1977-78 for the last time Liverpool had reached this point, having only conceded one goal in the top flight. So, yeah, and just as Simon said, you know, you just can't even begin to really put into words just the difference that Van Dijk makes to this team. And, you know, it's the knock-on effect throughout the entire structure of the team. It's not just the back line that looks stronger. I think everything functions better as a result of his presence.
Is there a hint of this season almost feeling already a little bit like Liverpool of two seasons ago? You know, looking like they mean serious business.
Yeah, I think so. I think because it's, you know, it's not far off the same team, is it? It's, you know, there's been a few tweaks here and there, obviously, but I think, you know, I think the squad, for all the talk of squad depth, when you think, when Klopp has, you know, he is rotating more than previous seasons. I think he touched upon it again at the weekend that, you know, yes, Liverpool had some horrendous bad luck last season with freak injuries that you just couldn't have done anything about, like Van Dijk's, like Thiago's, but I think, you know, there were probably also times when players broke down when, you know, with hindsight, he probably would have said, well, you know, if only I'd rotated a bit more. And I think, you know, we've seen already that some people might doubt the depth that he's got, but he doesn't. You know, he showed that with the fact he threw Origi in, you know, last week against Milan. You know, we've seen it. Tsimikas, I don't think anyone now questions whether he is able to fill that Robertson void and give him a breather at times. You know, I guess the only real concern at the moment is in that centre midfield department as we await news on Thiago, because you certainly wouldn't want to lose him for any significant period of time. You know, he complained of discomfort in his calf when he went off at the weekend, but yeah, it's You're right, Steve. I think there are shades of Liverpool looking again like a team that's capable of breaking past the 90-point barrier. And they only failed to do that last season for very well-documented reasons, which I think at the moment, and of course it's early days, but they look like they've got that kind of swagger back, and they look pretty relentless.
Naby, of course, came on, Naby lad, and scored the third, Simon. And he scored the sort of goal that I think when he joined the football club, this was the image of him that we had, wasn't it? Those big moments, big goals, long-range strike. It was a hell of a strike, followed by what looked like almost a Cantona celebration. You know, he stood sort of arrogantly to say, yeah, that's what I'm all about.
Well, it was an incredible finish. I mean, I've got to be honest, it came out of nowhere, really. I mean, we haven't really seen that in his game. I mean, I've got to be honest, when he signed, I thought Liverpool were getting, you know, an aggressive player, a pressing player, somebody who liked the sort of the physical side of the game. That was the report, that were the main sort of reports coming back from Germany at the time. And just because of his incapacity to finish games and be available for long periods of time, we haven't really seen that. I mean, it's his fourth season now. But he's still, you know, still relatively quite a young player, isn't he? So I still think I get the impression Klopp still 100% believes in him, has picked him at important times. And I mean, that, if that doesn't give him any, you know, the confidence that's needed to go and have an impact, then nothing will, I suppose. So they're going to have to capitalise on that. I mean, it's a really interesting area, the pitch midfield, because, I mean, I did share some concerns, you know, when Wijnaldum went, I thought, you know, he's an excellent player. I think he needs replacing. But even with Harvey Elliott being injured, there's a lot of options there for Klopp at the moment. Curtis Jones hasn't really had that much of a look in yet. I thought he looked quite lively when he came on the other day. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, another one, as you say, Keita. So there's a lot of options in that area, the pitch. The problems last season, of course, as we've mentioned so many times before, is when you're having to play midfielders in defence, so you're losing in two positions there. Hopefully that won't be the case this season. But it was the first time we've really seen that. Well, not the first time, but the first time at home in front of a full Anfield, where you see the three who people would say, who would have said 12 months ago, will be the main three. Obviously, Thiago, Henderson and Fabinho. I would say, you know, over the next couple of months, if Thiago is okay, that would be the sort of the strongest three. But he's got lots of options there, hasn't he? So it's I think, as Klopp said, it's a very strong squad. I think people underestimated the squad, and I think they'll go close this season, Liverpool. You know, providing he can get through that January period, where if Salah and Mane are away, that is going to be a big challenge, because they're obviously two brilliant players.
James, going back to what you were saying about rotating as well, and he started to do it almost perfectly, because people have questioned some of the players that have maybe played in certain games. But again, there's another opportunity this week with the Carabao Cup. So you would imagine the likes of Kelleher, Gomez, Phillips, Oxlade-Chamberlain, they're all going to get much-needed game time as well.
Yeah. I think we'll see a large amount of changes, undoubtedly. I'm looking forward to seeing whether we maybe see a couple of debuts as well. Cade Gordon, you know, I think a young player that has impressed everyone massively since Liverpool signed him from Derby County for £1 million back in January. And I was at the academy actually last Wednesday afternoon for the UEFA Youth League game, and he was the best player on the pitch by a mile. You know, he was, Milan tried to kick lumps out of him a few times, and they still struggled to stop him. And I know that the staff and the senior pros were massively impressed by him during the training camp in Austria. And I think it was very telling as well that when Klopp, when he got quite a few of the established internationals back later on in pre-season, and a lot of the younger players went back home, Cade Gordon was one of those who was retained for the full camp. And certainly when Shaqiri left, I was told then that, you know, that certainly in terms of the domestic cups, they see Cade Gordon as kind of, you know, almost the Shaqiri replacement on that front. And I certainly don't think anything's happened since then to kind of dent his chances of featuring against Norwich. And, you know, it's remarkable, really, when you think doesn't even turn 17 till October. But yeah, I think, you know, I'd expect to see him start on the right side of attack. And it was interesting as well, no Connor Bradley, I think, with the under-23s at the weekend. Again, obviously with Trent being ill, and obviously James Milner having put in such a big shift on the weekend, you just wonder whether we might see Connor Bradley as well, the young right back. So we've seen it before, haven't we? That, you know, Klopp, you know, is more than prepared to put his faith in youth. And yeah, I'm looking forward to Norwich, because I think hopefully we'll see a continuation of a theme so far this season, which is that when Klopp has made changes, when he has done things that might be, you know, could be seen as a gamble, that those gambles have paid off, because those players handed chances have really stepped up and delivered. And as you said before, Steve, there's senior pros there as well that, you know, need to make a statement. You know, someone like Oxlade-Chamberlain, who, despite the absence of other players, hasn't been able to force his way in so far this season. You know, Oxlade-Chamberlain should be looking at this game as absolutely huge for him, in the context of proving he should have a bigger role to play. The same with Minamino, you know, not had a chance since he came back from a real mixed loan spell at Southampton. You know, where does he fit in? I don't think anyone really knows at the moment with Minamino. It's, you know, his Liverpool career doesn't really feel as if it's even got off the ground. So, so it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, Origi's another one. You could probably write down that Liverpool team, because you know the players that need some time. Si, is it a massive gamble for you? Are you bothered if Liverpool go out of the Carabao Cup, the League Cup? What's your perception on it?
Well, my personal view is I think they should be going for every competition personally. But we just sort of spoken the squad up as well there, you know, so we can't say, well, you've got a great squad, but equally, you know, just sort of ignore this competition. I think it's a very important competition potentially if you treat it in the right way, because if you win the cup, the League Cup, it comes in, you know, February, March time. We've seen before how that can give teams confidence going into the sort of last straight to the season.
We saw it in 2001, didn't we? And they all refer back to that.
Yeah. They said, you know, that win gave them, you know, a massive amount of confidence. I think, you know, when you think back about sort of Jurgen Klopp as well, when he started, I mean, he didn't prioritise the League Cup when he came in as Liverpool manager. He nearly went out to Carlisle. Let's not forget, they went to penalties at Anfield in a really awful night in many ways. But they ended up getting to the final that year. And I think, I know they lost the final, but it gave the fans a huge amount of confidence. I know that was then and this is now. But I think if you give the fans the sort of the trip to Wembley early on in the season, and you end up winning the competition, I think it can be a massive, massive bonus. I think it's not everything should be judged just by, you know, sort of the financial implication. I think the players are hungry for trophies as well. I mean, we've seen how Manchester City have given that competition a lot of respect over the last few years. I understand City arguably, you know, can maybe afford to do that, but I think Liverpool and in a position to maybe be able to do that now. I suspect, as James says, he'll play a sort of a much changed team, but I feel that it should be a competition, even more so than the FA Cup, maybe, because the FA Cup, the scheduling of it, comes at a very difficult time. If you're trying to get to the final and play a final around, you know, the back straight of the season, when you potentially got a league and a Champions League, if everything's going brilliantly, of course. But for me, I think they should be looking to try and win it. Personally, I've never really understood why you wouldn't. That they've got a strong squad now, you can utilise it, and you know, I think Liverpool are capable of dealing with it. Again, it comes to January though, Steve, doesn't it? Because the semi final will be in January when Salah and Mane aren't available. My professional answer is I don't think Klopp really thinks about it in the same way that I do.
He quantified that perfectly. Right, let's finish on this one. I know you two lads love your Sunday league football and your amateur football. Best moment of the game for me against Palace was James Milner whacking the ball like a narc against the Palace player who was 1 yard away from him and then proceeding to kick off on him for absolutely no reason whatsoever. It was proper Sunday league, wasn't it? He lost his own head. James, you ever done that? Ever kicked the ball at someone a yard away?
No, Steve, my disciplinary record is impeccable. You know that.
I've seen James lose his temper before.
I never lose.
What about Rome, James? What about Rome when you lost your temper there with me?
Oh, that was on a football field, though.
I don't know, but you can't lose your temper, though.
All right, no, I did.
You're like this nice guy.
I did once lash out at Ian Doyle and boot him in the shins after he pulled my shirt during five-a-side.
Come on, did you not enjoy it when he did that?
I did enjoy that from James Milner. And as Simon touched on earlier, I actually look back and Liverpool have only had 7 red cards, right, in the last 5.5 years. And Milner has had 2 of them, both against Palace, both for kicking lumps out of Wilfried Zaha. And he did such a great job on him, didn't he, on the weekend? And even better, he somehow didn't get booked. He seemed to be leading a charmed life at times. There was some classic James Milner there on the weekend. And just reminded you how lucky we are still to have him.
You're a narc, Si, aren't you, on the pitch?
Sometimes. I mean, as I got older, I think I got narkier. When I was younger, I wasn't narky, but as I got older, I got a bit narkier. But
have you ever been sent off, Si?
I haven't been sent off, no. Been booked a few times. I got booked for persistently fouling a lad I went to school with who I hadn't seen for years. I just thought, I'm going to like try and kick you. And the referee caught on to it, yeah. I had to pay a fine for that. That was annoying.
How much?
It was only, I think it was 10 or 15 quid, but that was about 10 years ago, that. I love James Milner's performance at the weekend. It was the performance of a gnarly old pro who just wasn't taking any shit, basically, for the day. And I thought he was absolutely brilliant. It did make me laugh, as you say, Steve. I think the game needed that little bit of sort of aggro at that time as well, because Liverpool were coasting a little bit. The game was coasting. It sort of fired everybody up. And I noticed James McArthur was trying to, as the captain, be the sort of almost a local hard man. And then ended up looking a bit daft in the next sort of 10 minutes because Liverpool just passed the ball around him. Milner, for me, I mean, I think it was an excellent performance. One of the great underrated performances of the season, if we look back at it next summer, maybe.
Top, top, man. Brilliant from James Milner. Thank you very much, guys. Hope you enjoyed the Red Agenda today. My thanks, of course, to Si and to James. Red Agenda Extra is going to be back after the Norwich game and, of course, previewing the Brentford game as well. They're coming thick and fast. We'll see you then.